Greetings and welcome all. Welcome to Lunch with Leaders. I'm Cindy Morgan, the Vice President of Learning and Organizational Development, and I'm really glad that you're here today. We have a great show for you. To get us started, I'd like to kick it over to Youngin Cho from PMA to give us a couple of housekeeping tips. Youngin, hi.
Hi, Cindy. Thanks for joining Lunch with Leaders today. As managers, we know it's important to support career growth and movement. It is also really hard. So we have this session to help you think through how you can manage that transition effectively and smoothly. We love hearing from you. So get your cell phones ready for the poll. Use the chat to share your thoughts and the Q&A window for questions. Like last week, we will continue to provide easier ways to get your CNEC credit, including the texting feature. So if you have a profile, text 72476 to 215-398-6728. The event handout is on the LeadStrong website, and for any questions, reach out to the CME office on the email below. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Thanks, Youngin. Appreciate you doing all that legwork to get these credits for people. It's awesome. All right, so for those of you who are newbies, welcome. Lunch with Leaders is a community of leaders to all come together and talk and share tips and ideas and hear from leaders with whom we work. It can be a really fun show, not only to hear the guests, but also to hear from you in the chat. You can find all of our past recordings on the LeadStrong site, and the link will be in the chat. So if you like this show, tell your friends, shoot them the recording, tell them where to listen. It will really help us get the word out there that we're trying to have great conversations with amazing leaders and have great chat as well. So let's do a little mailbag. How good was last week's show? I thought Dr. Parmasek and Tom Gakis really gave us some great tips. I don't know about you, but all the past 2 weeks, I've been thinking a lot about Mike's advice or Tom's advice to Mike about don't play small ball. There were a couple of small things that came up and rattled me a little. I was getting all angry and I'm like, don't play small ball. So I had Tom Gakis in my head for 2 weeks. Maybe you did as well. Feedback for me was positive. One person thought it was the best show that they've ever attended. Thanks for that feedback. We thought it was really good too. It was obvious, like the chemistry and then the connection between the two of them. My teams wanted to kill me over the last 2 weeks because I kind of felt like Dr. Parmasek and Mike's admission that what makes the powerful pair is talking about everything, talking all the time. So poor Gretchen, poor Leah, poor Craig, we've been talking even more. It's been very fun for me. I hope it is for them as well. Very powerful pairs there. So Marianne, who Mike mentioned, Marianne has worked as the chief of staff in the Department of Medicine for like four or five chairs. She's just like amazingly like, longevity at her career, long tenured. She thought that the dynamic duo were really good and they were really themselves. So I thought that that could have been like the best compliment ever from somebody who really knows the two of them. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for your feedback. As always, we're always listening. One of the things that we heard in the survey we thought was pretty cool. You wanted to nominate people possibly to be on Lunch with Leaders. So in this week's survey, make sure you give us your feedback and it will be your opportunity to say who you'd like to hear and see as a guest on Lunch with Leaders. So take a look and let us know. All right, let's talk about this session because it's going to be good. First, we got to do a quick commercial. Listen to this. I asked you two weeks ago, you answered. Unconscious bias training, bang, 92%, high performance. Incredibly important topic. Thank you so much for doing everything you could to get your teams and you through the training so we can all continue to educate ourselves on the importance of diversity, equity, inclusion, being anti-racist. It all starts with understanding and educating ourselves. So thank you so much for your commitment to excellence. I feel so excited. And now we want to try to get to 100%. So make sure everyone on your team has taken this. It will really make a big difference. So thank you. The other commercial that I wanted to give this week is if you like Lunch with Leaders, you might love the 30-Minute Coach. We know that these quick hit virtual sessions really can be effective. And so we've created a pretty cool 2-for-1 series. We take one topic each month. April's topic is motivation. And we look at it two ways, from a manager's lens, from an employee's lens. And so there are two different types of sessions, one if you lead yourself and one if you lead others. May's session will be career conversation. So once again, it's just another way of continuing to pulse some of these really critically important things, both for us and for the people with whom we're working. So check it out. Let me know what you think. Thanks, G, for posting the link to sign up. All right, let's talk about today because it's going to be really good. I don't know about you, but have you ever had someone say, hey, I'm going to set up a meeting and there's no topic, or someone says, I have to talk to you about something. I don't know. I get like a heart attack. I'm like, oh no, oh, don't say it. And then they're like, okay, my last day is X. And I have a wave of emotions and it's like panic, grief, all sorts of things come up and into my mind. And I'm like, okay, what do I have to do? Let me recall all of this. So today we're going to really talk about how hard it can be when people leave and when people are in transition. And so there are best practices for doing this well. You know that I'm always on all of us about great onboarding. I want to make sure that we're doing offboarding and transition planning just as well, because it's just as important, not only for the person who is leaving or transitioning, but for the whole team to see how we manage some of these transitions. It says everything about us as leaders and about what we value. So today we have great guests, and I can't wait to hear your tips, your ideas. So make sure you're sharing. In the meantime, pull out your phones. I've got to do a pulse check. I know spring is here. We're starting to see a little bit more positive energy. And yet we also know that there's a little bit more COVID here that we're dealing with. So pull out your cell phones. I'd love to hear how you're doing. Text Penn Medicine 918 to 22333. And then once you're in the chat, send me one word. What emotions are you feeling today? And while you're doing that, I'm very excited to introduce our guests. Today, we have Jan Bergen, who is the former Chief Executive Officer of Lancaster General Hospital, and Charmaine Rochester, the Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer at Lancaster, who recently was promoted after being the CFO at Chester County Hospital. Today, G is going to play dual roles. You see her stoke in the chat. She's going to stay in the chat, and she's going to come on screen to be our subject matter expert around transition planning and offboarding. So we're going to talk to her just a little bit later. So I didn't want you to feel confused if Gretchen's like getting you to participate in the chat, and she's also a guest. So Charmaine, Jan, come on screen, join me. I'm so happy to have you here. Hi, Char.
Hey,
hi, Jan.
Jan.
Congratulations to you both on these exciting milestones in your career. Can't wait to hear all about it. In the meantime, though, let's see what emotions people are feeling today. All right, let's take a look. Okay. Overwhelmed, busy, hopeful. Sad. Oh, I'm sorry. Tired, relentless. Feel that. Hopeful. I like the smiley face. I love the sun. Na, 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 na. Annoyed, stressed, sunshine, motivated. What do you think, Jan? Do these words surprise you at all?
They do not, Cindy.
No. Char, what do you think? Are these the words that come to your mind too?
They did. Hopefully jumped out at me too, because that's the word that popped into my mind. But I'm not surprised. It's been a tough year. So folks being stressed and tired, it certainly is understandable.
Yeah, it just seems unrelenting, that's for certain. Well, thank you for sharing your emotions with us. So Jan, Charmaine, I'm just really excited for both of you. And it's just great to be able to congratulate you personally on these very exciting points in your career. So Jan, let me start with you. Retirement, it's like something we all dream about, and you're like right here at the precipice. Before we talk about that, though, I'd love to know a little bit about your career and what a success it's been. Were you always aiming to be a CEO? Was this like a straight line to CEO? Was it jagged? Can you tell us a little bit about your career journey?
I'd love to, Cindy. At first, thank you for joining me to be inviting me to be part of the Lunch with Leaders. I was really looking forward to this. I think it's really going to be a fun hour. So I think it'd be more accurate to say, honestly, that I was on a leadership track versus on a CEO track. I started my career as a social worker and case manager working in a healthcare environment that worked with people with disabilities. And I was just so honored 3 years after starting in that role to be given the opportunity to lead the department. And I learned so much about leadership in those early days, honestly, by making tons of mistakes. And I became kind of a student of leadership, you know, really studying how other people led and who I thought were really effective and why I thought they were effective. And ultimately, I decided that I wanted to be on a leadership track. And that for me, that meant the ability to try to influence the vision and future direction of the not-for-profit organization that I had committed to work for, but also to really be able to create that sense of inspiration and connection with others and to really be a dynamic leader. And so I think it definitely, for me at least, is much more accurate to say that my track was all about leadership, less about being a CEO or a title. I will say that I always wanted to be able to have the ability to have greater influence, so that connects with hierarchical, you know, progress. But I've always been a little weary about chasing titles because I don't know that that necessarily enables you to really understand what are the attributes and competencies that really match the responsibilities of that job. And so I was much less focused on title, much more just about the experience to continue to learn and to have influence.
Thanks, Jan. I didn't know that you were trained as a social worker. I think that's really cool. And I know we probably have some social workers in the audience today who may be sharing some of your own aspirations. That's awesome. Charmaine, let me turn it over to you. So young girl, young Charmaine, did you dream of being a chief financial officer? Like, were you like having the lemonade stand and doing all the money? Were you playing Monopoly for like winnings?
No, Cindy, actually no. And I hated Monopoly. It was way too competitive for me. But so as a young girl in Jamaica, I grew up in Jamaica. And to be honest with you, back then, the aspirations that I thought were available to me were limited to nurse or teacher. And my mom was a nurse, and I realized I didn't have the gifting she had. I thought it took a really special person to be a nurse, and I still think that. So I always thought I'd be a teacher. And actually, when I applied to college, to Howard University, I applied as an English major. And it was during my
first- You know, that's yours truly's major.
Yeah.
So I gotta give you a high five on that.
It seemed like a good idea at the time, but then I met
folks. Probably me, I think.
Yeah, I met folks in the business school, and they started talking about all these business majors, and I got curious. And so I did some research around what's available in business school, and I decided to pick accounting because it was the most practical thing to do. And so that got me on the business track. But prior to that, I hadn't even thought about it. And my career journey has been an interesting one. I'm a military wife. I was a military wife. And so my career just went wherever my husband went at the time. And it wasn't until I got into healthcare, which was halfway through my professional life, and I got the opportunity to work closely with a CFO, that I even understood what that might mean and maybe started thinking about the possibility of being on that track. But that was much later on in my career journey.
That's a great story. Thank you. Yeah, let me go to you. We've heard from the audience that they want our guests to give us like one nugget of wisdom on how you navigated these career progressions up until your recent move, or just one nugget around how you became the leader that you are today. Charmaine, I'm going to ask you the same question. Jan, let me start with you. What's one nugget?
So, Cindy, I think that the nugget that I would share is that, you know, through the years and through my own professional development, I've really focused in on two things that I think really make a difference in terms of the quality of leadership that you can demonstrate. One is around being an authentic, trusting leader. You know, I as a young leader, learned that, you know, if you are not authentic and truly don't invest and care about the people you're working with, that becomes very obvious very quickly. The second is that you've got to truly care about engaging your employees and those that you're working with, your colleagues, to try to help really enable the organization to be successful in meeting its vision. And so that engagement around an inspiring vision, at the same time being really committed to the relationships that you develop and a trusting, authentic leader, from my perspective, really was part of what let me have lots of opportunities for growth and development over the 40 years that I worked.
Thanks, Dan. I know, as being your colleague for the last several years, I've really experienced you in that way. Doug shouted you out, said that Jan has been the epitome of servant leadership, which made her so influential and powerful. You're highly respected in the entire Lancaster region. Thanks, Doug. I agree. Charmaine, same question.
Yeah, so for me, I think the advice that I would have given myself earlier on is to step out of your comfort zone. And I think when I started embracing that, the opportunities to do more than I thought I was capable of became more, I guess, easier to navigate. And I think part of it, too, is just understanding who I was and how my personality fit into what I was contributing to the workplace. When I had the opportunity to take the Myers-Briggs personality assessment and learned that I was an introvert and learn what that meant, a light bulb went off, because I just always thought that leaders were people who were, you know, outgoing and very social, and I didn't see myself as that person. And so I didn't think that I had what it took to be a leader. But when I understood that my personality might be a little bit different, which means I have to approach leadership in a different way, I think that gave me the courage to step out of my comfort zone more often. And so that would be the nugget I would have liked to have had earlier on.
Oh, it's a good one. And I think a lot of that has to resonate for so many in our audience. Not everyone's an extrovert. You know, sometimes people need to go in, close the door, think about some things, and then come out and talk to people about it. And that can be just as successful as someone who's spitballing with a group and brainstorming. So I think that's a great point. I also wanted to just say thank you for saying stretching out of your comfort zone. I know that really resonates for me. And I'm sure probably doing a talk show in front of all your friends, family, you know, all these Penn Medicine folks, you know, that might have been a little out of your comfort zone. So thanks for saying yes to me as well. I know I benefit from that nugget of wisdom. So thank you. All right, I want to go deep with you, Jan. Char, I'm going to come back to you. Jan, how did you know it was time to retire? Was the golf course just beckoning? Like, was this a hard decision? Like, did you always, like, know it was April 2021 and you were working towards that date? Like, how does this all happen? Talk to us.
Yeah, you know, Cindy, that's, like, the most important question that I've been trying to answer for the last 6 months. Like, I would wake up sweating at 2 o'clock in the morning and saying, what am I doing? Like, how do you walk away from something that you love like this? You know, because I truly have loved the work that I've been doing or have done. But there was kind of a personal and a professional reason, honestly, why I reached the decision to retire. And it was not COVID. I can't tell you how many people that I run into and say, oh, it's been such a trying year. I understand why you retired. And I said, actually, it was not COVID at all. In fact, I found the last 14 months, like everybody else, completely exhausting and overwhelming, but at the same time, incredibly inspiring. And I am so glad that I was able to be here during that time period. But on a professional level, I've always thought that, you know, as a leader, you kind of have to know your own limitations and know when you can no longer continue to be that person that is the provocative voice driving an organization forward for all, ultimate success. And then second, on a personal level, I found myself being more anxious about the fact that I had no spontaneity in my life. And I'm watching my grandchildren now 8 and 10 and, you know, getting constant phone calls from them saying, why aren't you coming to my soccer game or coming to be part of this or that? And, you know, just the combination of the two, feeling, you know, it's important to know when to step back and let somebody else with new ideas and new leadership skills take the organization to the next level. And at the same time, that kind of gnawing frustration I was feeling about the lack of spontaneity gave me a sense that I truly couldn't be fully present if I was feeling that sense of pressure from more my personal life. And so it was the combination of those factors that led me to make the decision to retire. But you are so right in saying that this is a difficult decision. It is a crazy tough decision. And
I
I
think we
have
don't talk about those emotions enough. I don't think we
oh,
talk about the
oh,
emotions that
oh.
go into some of these hard decisions. It's not like you are happy. It's like I feel for you.
No, absolutely. There's so much emotional and psychological adjustment with this transition. It's really quite remarkable, and it's important to be in touch with that. It really is.
Thank you. And I think so many of us need leaders like you to say, feelings are good. It means we're alive and awake and present to what's happening for ourselves. So thanks for sharing that. So what are your big plans? Okay, you talked about your grandkids. What else do you have in store?
You know, one of the things I'm really bad at is saying no. And so one of the tests for me has been in the last couple of weeks and going forward, is to, if can I say no to things that I don't feel a really strong personal connection and commitment to? Because, and I've heard this from other people that have retired, you know, so many opportunities come your way very quickly upon your announcement around retiring. The key is maintaining balance and making sure that, for me at least, the key is this, is making sure that the things I want to do that are on a professional level, you know, really exciting to me, are those things that I have a strong personal conviction toward. And then secondarily, that I'm balancing that with having enough time to give me that spontaneity that I am seeking, so that I can spend more time doing things I love and engaging with the people that are very important in my life. And so I have made some very difficult decisions about where I'm going to spend more of my professional time. And I'm going to do a combination of both corporate and not-for-profit boards for organizations that I've been very involved in. And I'm really excited. I'm going to be working with the American Hospital Association on the Foster G. McGall Prize, which is for organizations across the country. You know, there's one hospital or health system every year that is selected for doing really extraordinary work in improving the health and well-being of the communities that they serve. And that has really been a really driving force for me in my career, is to be able to not just help individuals, but to be able to help a community at large. And so I'm really excited about that. So I'm trying to find this very delicate balance between wanting to continue to learn and grow on a professional and an intellectual level, at the same time to be able to give myself time to be a little selfish and to do things that I really haven't had time for over the past several decades. So I have no magical formula here, but that's my approach.
I love it. You know, Shonda Rhimes, who many of you may know from Grey's Anatomy and Scandal and Bridgerton, she wrote a book, The Year of Saying Yes. Maybe there's a book in your future, The Year of Saying No. Because I think a lot of us could really benefit from, like, learning from you and how you do this. Dr. Wender from Family Medicine says, a great leader who's bad at saying no. There's a Lunch with Leaders topic there. Maybe the balance of saying yes, maybe, and no could be very meaningful. Thank you, Jan. So I'd love to invite people. Doug has already taken the lead. If you've worked directly or indirectly with Jan, what's one thing that you've appreciated about her leadership or what you've learned from her and what you'll miss about Jan? I'd love to hear that in the chat as a nice send off to her. Jan, we're very excited that John Herman has been announced as the new CEO of Lancaster General. And by the way, I hope the audience will join me and Lunch with Leaders on May 6th, when we will have John Herman as well as James Dimitriadis from the new CEO of Princeton Health. So we're going to meet them and have a spotlight on their new leadership. So what tips can you share about how you managed the transition so John could have a great onboarding?
Yeah, Cindy, first of all, I am so excited about John joining the organization. I've had the opportunity over the last month to really get to know him, and I think he's just going to be an excellent leader for Lancaster General Health and for Penn more broadly. But, you know, I think one of the most important things that he and I were able to do is that we had a month where we could work together. And I kept, you know, apologizing to him because I felt like I was doing a brain dump. You know, it was like everything that was related to a current initiative or a challenge or something going on strategically, I wanted to share with him so that he could discard those things that he didn't think were particularly relevant or helpful but hold on to those little nuggets that he thought could be useful to him as he leads the organization going forward. So having that crossover where he was in the role, but I was available to help with the onboarding, I found was just incredibly valuable. And I hope that when you all talk with John, that he reflects the same. I told him that I was very grateful because he made it very easy for me to be able to help during this transition period by, you know, being available as a resource to him. And I felt very comfortable doing that. I would really encourage folks that if it's possible, every position is different. The need for that transition period to be either longer or shorter will vary with the role and the circumstances. Obviously, when somebody is coming from within the organization, that's probably a little less critical than if somebody is coming from outside of the community and outside of the organization. But that was really, really helpful. And I had started 4 months in advance of even John being announced, putting together a list of onboarding considerations. And Alice Jorgensen was just a huge partner as our CHRO in helping then translate all of that into an onboarding schedule. So I think that worked really well, I believe, for us. And I would encourage others to do it because it's really hard to just have this, you know, kind of cliff where one leader leaves and is gone and the next leader starts. And you can potentially lose continuity, and I think you can create a whole seamlessness in terms of a leadership transition if you take the time to work together and make sure that insights and information are shared. So I feel like that really truly did work well for us.
It's great, Jen. Thanks for sharing that. You are, and let me shout out Alex Jorgensen, the CHRO at LG, my partner in crime. Thank you for that great work as well. Jen, you're going to love reading this chat after the show, but let me just give you a couple of highlights. Jen always asks very thoughtful questions, and she knows how to connect with individuals and make them feel valued. Jen's always made me feel valued as an employee. Jan, I really appreciate serving under Jan's leadership. She's authentic, approachable. She's very responsive and will engage with the patients as well. Kindness, passion, caring for employees. Her demeanor when facing challenges, alignment, engagement. Jan being Jan, she's very special, really memorable. So thank you so much. You will definitely be missed, that's for certain. So I'd love to hear from the audience. If you helped to offboard somebody who is retiring, what tips can you share? What did you do to make that person feel special as they were announcing their retirement and starting that offboarding transition? Jan, in the world of COVID, how did they handle your offboarding with Penn Medicine, at LG? Were there any things that really felt good for you from an offboarding perspective?
Related specifically to COVID, Cindy?
Related to anything, like what did they do to celebrate you in this transition in your career?
Yeah, well, first of all, I have been overwhelmed by the outpouring of love and kindness from this organization and for Penn Medicine and the community at large. For all of my colleagues know that, like, it's very difficult for me to have this conversation without getting teary. So we'll see if after being away for a couple of weeks, am I've actually matured and able to do this without getting emotional. But I can't say enough that when somebody is going through a transition, if it's like Charmaine and having an opportunity to take on a new expanded role, or if it's a retirement like me, or whatever the transition is, you know, when people take the time to send an email or a personal note or, you know, leave you a little remembrance of them. I just can't even begin to tell you how meaningful that is. And it has lasting benefit, you know, and it just helps you be able to reflect on the time that you spent in this wonderful organization and leave with such a sense of happiness and contentment. So, you know, it's certainly been a reminder of me. I've always been a note writer, but now it even means more to me. And I'm going to make more of an effort to do that when people are going through passages or transitions in life. It's just really a wonderful thing to do. So I would just note that and thank everybody from the bottom of my heart who has been so kind and just thoughtful. It really means a lot to me.
Thanks, Dan. Debbie, I'd love to transition it over to you. So again, congratulations on your internal promotion. What went into your decision to leave Chester County to move to LG? What went into your decision-making process? Did you have a lot of feelings about this change as well? Talk to us about how this all went down for you.
Sure. So similar to what Jen mentioned, I think when you're making a decision to leave a job you love, it's really, really hard. And I did love my job at Chester County. And I think the reason for that is the people that I worked with. We had gone into COVID together. We had just completed a major project there on the campus. And there, you know, we bonded, and I really cared about the team there. And it was really hard to think about walking away from that team, not just my finance team, but also my counterparts there. But it's back to the whole thought around stepping out of your comfort zone. And when the opportunity opened up for the CFO position here at LG, I was interested because I knew it would give me an opportunity to expand and grow. While we're all delivering healthcare, we know healthcare is local. And the community here in Lancaster is different from the community in Chester County, different from Princeton. And so it was an opportunity not just to learn more about the services being delivered through our health system, but also to learn more about the Lancaster community. And, you know, it's not often that a CFO opportunity will open up within the system you're in, giving you a bigger span of responsibility to look at and the opportunity to learn a new community. So it was a great opportunity. But it took a leap of faith. I had to leave where I was comfortable. We were in the middle of COVID. Jan had announced at the time that she was leaving. So I knew that, you know, whoever the CFO was at Lancaster would soon after starting there have a new CEO. And that took a leap of faith. But I think part of the decision making had to do with just appreciating Penn Medicine as a system. And having that comfort of knowing that I'm still in the system. And I knew from the folks I had interacted with previously at Lancaster that it would be some place where I could grow and thrive and do well. And so all of that came together and I took a leap of faith and here I am.
I mean, I gotta whisper something in your ear. You may not know it, but you're like a courageous badass. Like, that's pretty awesome for somebody who's like coaching herself that she has to take some risks. I mean, that's a pretty big risk set there, and I think it's gonna really pay off for you. That's amazing. So what's it been like to transition during this like kind of challenging time, generally speaking? I mean, transition's hard always, but like, this is kind of like especially challenging time. What's it been like to transition?
Yeah, so it's been a challenge. And I think change on a whole is a challenge. But as you said, it's a different time. I think about when I transitioned to Chester County and the opportunities I had there to meet people and network and get to know the community. And it's different when you're in a pandemic environment where everybody's wearing masks, we need to be socially distanced, there are no large gatherings. And so I think the transition is taking a little bit longer, and I have to remind myself to be patient because I tend to have a bias towards action and wanting to know everything right away. And so I have to remind myself that it is going to take longer, you know, to get to know the community that I'm in, both in the health system and in the county at large, because we are in a pandemic. And even getting to know people, it's either behind a mask or behind a screen, and it's not that intimate as, you know, you would like to have coming into a new environment. So that has been challenging. But I think folks recognize how hard it is, and the folks here at Lancaster have been just very generous in reaching out, and we're doing the best we can to connect, even though it's just different. It's very different.
Thanks. I'd love to hear from the audience. If you've worked with Charmaine directly or indirectly, what's one thing you've appreciated about her leadership or have learned from her? You already got a shout out from Lori saying your friends at CCH miss you. So let me open it up, Charmaine, to you to say, what intentional steps did you take to offboard and then transition your role at Chester County? And a question came in for Jan, but I'm actually going to ask it to you. So there's probably a lot of quiet things that you did behind the scenes that were a bit more discreet. And so how did you convey that information in your transition plan at all?
That's a great question. So I'm a huge Olympics fan. And when I think about this question, the first imagery that comes to mind is a relay where someone is running, they're passing the baton, you have to take the baton, you're starting to run, and then you're gonna be passing it to someone else. Transitioning internally is almost like a reverse relay because you need to hand the baton off to the people that you're leaving behind and then grab the baton from the people that you're joining. So there's a lot of coordination involved, and there's this fine balance between making sure that there's knowledge sharing going on and making sure that you're leaving enough information for folks to be successful, but not being in the way of them being successful because you do need to move on and take on your responsibilities. So at Chester County, the preparation for offboarding really started a long time before I actually offboarded. And, you know, a few months earlier, I knew I was going out for a major surgery and I'd be out for a while. And that was a great time for us to think about, all right, what are the things that I need to make sure is covered by the team so that when I'm not available, the team can function well. And I think just thinking through that, making sure that you're communicating to everybody who will be impacted, making sure they know what their role will be when you're not there. And, you know, and even before that, building a strong team so that you have the confidence when you pass on that baton that they're going to be able to carry it. And I just have to shout out to Josh and Jeremy and Chris and Rhonda and Diana and Kim and the whole team at Chester County. It really took a team that they took that baton and they carried on and allowed me to be able to step away and take the baton here at Lancaster. And I really appreciate that. But it does start with preparing way ahead of time, because anything can happen. It might not be that you're leaving for another job, but as leaders, we have to think about, if we're not there, can the team carry on without you? Maybe not as well, but they need to be able to carry on. And I think we did a lot of that groundwork prior to this opportunity opening up, and it was just easier to then, you know, go back into that mindset when I was officially transitioning out of Chester County.
Thanks. You're getting a lot of love in the chat. I got to tell you a couple of things. It might make you blush, but hang in there. You're truly missed. Rhonda says you really taught her to focus more on listening, be transparent, and be very present. Dara said you were always willing to spend time with her daughter as she was exploring a major in accounting. She's really inspirational, and she's very grateful. Charmaine's amazing. She has high standards and isn't afraid to ask questions when something doesn't seem right. Setting clear expectations is invaluable. Genuine, supportive, innovative, approachable, understandable. She always takes the time to listen. Great partner, excellent communicator, good things. I'd love to ask the audience, if you had experience transferring internally, looking back, what were you proud of in terms of how you navigated that transition? I'd love to hear your tips in the chat. So I think a lot about PMA as an incubator of talent. We bring people in, we train them up, we give them a lot of experience, and then we launch them out into the organization to go deeper in their careers. So we have former PMAers across a lot of different entities here at Penn Medicine. It's a real source of pride for us. And as a result, it's meant a lot of transition planning, offboarding, onboarding. So we decided to put our collective wisdom and experience to good use, and we have a new pathway. So drum roll, we've got a new pathway today. We are launching it. You're going to love it. Obviously, it's hard to transition, but we're going to make it as easy as possible. So you're going to have a serious step-by-step recipe for how to do this well from the minute someone announces that they're going to transition or leave, all the way through to onboarding the new person. So let me turn it over to G. G, thanks for all your great work on this. Will you walk us through the new pathway?
Certainly, happy to. Thanks for having me join.
Thanks for being the chat master and the subject matter expert. You're like doing double duty today.
My favorite part of my role. So like many of you, I am in the midst of transitioning a highly valued, high potential employee who is moving on to a promotional opportunity in the organization. And while I cannot be happier for her, I feel your pain. It is hard. And so I thought I'd spend a few minutes going over some of our best practices that we've put together in this new pathway to make the process as painless as possible for you. So the first step in the process, which we've tried to break down into several steps, and Casey, you can move to the next slide, please, is actually having the discussion. And so Cindy mentioned earlier that the phrase, my last day will be, is something that can instill fear in many of us managers. But no matter how you're feeling, whether you're surprised, relieved, or you know, huddling under your desk, it's really important to handle it in a way that ensures the stability of the rest of the team, because they need you as their leader to ensure that the pathway forward is going to be smooth and somewhat seamless. And the other thing to keep in mind is Cindy and so many, and both Charmaine and Jan mentioned, developing talent is one of our key competencies as a manager. So when you develop someone who moves into a promotional role within the organization, you're actually benefiting the whole organization. So your loss may be someone else's gain. Monica Hoyer, I have my eyes on you. For the future. Communicate. So there are many people you're going to have to communicate with as a part of this process. So keep in mind it needs to be timely. So you don't want these things to turn into sort of a whisper down the lane campaign. You need to be clear, frequent. I think it's like really hard to even over communicate in these situations. We do have some templates on the pathway for you about how you might send out an announcement about someone's departure. And keep in mind, the message is obviously going to change whether you're talking about a peer, customers, clients, or what have you. If you're surprised by the departure, hopefully you're not. Hopefully this is a conversation you've been having for years. But you may want to think about doing some stay interviews with some of your valued employees in the team. So a stay interview is just some questions that you might pepper throughout your one-on-ones just to monitor people's engagement. You know, Jan talked about really that's one of our roles is to help engage our teams. So stay questions could be things like, how are you feeling about your job? Are there things that are surprised about our job, things that you don't like? To try and get a sense, is there another surprise coming down the line? Do you have another potential resignation that you might want to anticipate? The next step would be to plan. So we also talked about the importance of this. Jan mentioned that her transition plan had been 4 months in the works, and she was lucky enough to have a month overlap with John in which to share her strategies. So we do have a document template online for you. This can be done in a number of different ways, but the things you want to capture are just your weekly, daily, month-to-month tasks, important meetings, contacts within and outside of the organization. Where are you storing documents? Is there special software or systems that your replacement will need access to in training? Think about, as you transition one person out of the department, how you use this as a developmental opportunity for other members in the department. Again, you know, Charmaine talked about taking on stretch assignments and moving out of your comfort zone. Sometimes duties that one employee had could be relocated to another one as a stretch assignment. Can help them with your succession planning and thinking about what's next for them. Another thing is that during transition, sometimes we have the opportunity to rethink about and re-envision roles. Have things changed since this person started? Is there a way for you to reconfigure the reporting structure, your organizational design based on changes that have happened within your department? So this is obviously not something that you want to do without input from your manager in HR, but sometimes these can be an opportunity for a fresh start or a different way of looking. We've also now got Pen for People. So many of these steps happen within the system. So both the transition planning, posting a new job, all these are in that system. It's easy to use, and there are really some great job aids. We have also created as part of the pathway a checklist just to remind you of all the important steps like retrieving name badges, computers, electronics, and those sort of things that need to happen as part of the process. The next is reflect. So some employees may request an exit interview at an entity, or if there has been some turnover, this may be something you are asking about. But I would say for you as a manager, an exit interview is a good practice to maintain. So a lot of times when people are leaving, they may even be inclined to be a bit more honest about what they thought about the job, what are the things they liked and didn't like. Are there things going on behind the scenes that you might need to know about? And also, how do you help the new person that's coming into the role? We have some sample exit questions in the pathway. Again, just a good standard practice to think about as someone's departing the organization. We also talked about the importance of acknowledging people. So, you know, this has changed a little bit in COVID. What might have been before a happy hour or a lunch may not be, even if you're in the office due to social distancing. Jan mentioned the importance of handwritten notes. I couldn't say enough about that. And letting the person know how much they've been valued, how their service has changed your department or team or the organization. So share that. Invite videos or notes or other things from colleagues. There's some great celebration ideas that we have that are virtual in the pathway as well. But please let them know what their service has meant to you and the institution. Finally, we get to the replacement step. So this is the final step of managing and offboarding, is to identify candidates, consider your interview process, and then finally, we talked about the importance of onboarding that new person. And you can work with both your HR business partner as well as using the resources on PMA's website for that step. So we do have, next slide, we have a whole pathway also on onboarding. So don't forget about using this as well, and it really sets up how you want to create that first 30, 60, 96 months of onboarding for that individual. These two pathways are just two of the pathways that we have for managers. And again, what we've tried to do is put all of the resources that PMA and HR has into one easy to follow guide. So very step by step, very logical. You can look back at them, refer to them as needed, and you can see all the lists here below. They're really organized into leading self, leading others, and leading the business. I will add the link to the chat. Oh, it looks like Young Yin already has. Thank you, Young Yin.
Don't worry, we got another chat master.
Those are our tips. Thanks for having me.
They're awesome. Thank you, Gretchen. I really appreciate all the great work. I got to shout out and give a lot of love to our HR partners. They really know how to do this stuff so beautifully. So you're not alone. Call your business partner. Call your CHRO. They are experts. Transition planning, offboarding, onboarding, recruiting, job profiles. They got it all going on. And now you also have the pathway, so you could be a good partner to them and know what we're doing here. So you don't have to make it up on the fly. It's all right there, turnkey. Shout out and love to our HR colleagues. Thanks, G. Really appreciate it. I want to open it up. Jan, Charmaine, talk to me. What do you think your best practices are for transition planning, offboarding? What are the things that you go to and do every time? Do you do exit interviews? How do you do succession planning when you're in these types of transitions? Talk to us. Let's go Charmaine first, then Jan.
How about we go Jan first and then Charmaine?
All right, let's go Jan first, then Charmaine.
Well, you know, I loved the comment around have the conversation. You know, it starts with the conversation, and not just when you're dreading what somebody was going to tell you when they scheduled that meeting that doesn't have a intended purpose. Like Cindy, you talked about that, like angst in your stomach. Of course, we all feel that. We value everybody that we work with. But I think it's really important on an ongoing basis to be having conversations with those that we work most closely with and who we have a responsibility to help develop in their own careers. Because I think that there's fewer surprises when you have those conversations on a routine basis. So I think that's really important, and I would certainly underscore that. And I think to your point in working with your HR partners, you know, I think there's so much work that needs to be done and can be done around succession planning, which includes how you handle onboarding. You know, I think that really needs to be thought about in advance. And, you know, the more that we can kind of standardize process, the better job we'll do when transition occurs. And then I guess I would say, you know, the third, some of transition, we need to welcome, celebrate, and to really applaud. Right. I mean, we become very possessive of the talent around us for very good reason. But, you know, I think we also should be, as leaders, really feeling good about the fact that we've helped somebody move on to another role where it's not only good for them, but hopefully within the organization, and that they can have an even more impactful role within Penn Medicine more broadly. So I think we should get to the point where, and it's hard, I mean, I've struggled with this too, but we need to celebrate when we've been able to be that stepping stone and really help somebody in terms of being able to advance and be wildly successful in a broader role in the organization. So those are just some thoughts, Cindy, that come to mind. I hope that's helpful.
Yeah, thank you, Jan. Jan, did you do exit it's a weird past tense. Did you do exit interviews as people were leaving?
Oh, in the sense of a traditional exit interview, no, but I had multiple conversations with people that were about what were the things that led them to making the decision, what were their hopes and aspirations, what could I do to continue to help them be successful in their future roles. So those conversations, I think, were absolutely critically important. And yes, I did those consistently.
But
I view that as a little bit different than a traditional exit interview, for me, it was an ongoing conversation.
We'll throw up on the chat the stay interview template, which says if you can time shift that conversation after someone says they're leaving to say, oh, well, what one thing, if it changed about your job, would make you happier? But you should be asking some of those questions before anyone ever gets to that. We have a tool for that. We'll put that up there. Charmaine, I know we're kind of running a little shorter on time, but I'd love to hear your own best practices for offboarding transition planning as a leader.
Yeah, so I'll just piggyback off some of what Jan said, and the imagery that came to mind was that as leaders, we have to think of ourselves as gardeners, and it's our responsibility to care for the folks in our span of control and either help them bloom really well as part of your team or prepare them well to bloom somewhere else. And so as I think about that, I think about stay interviews, which is something that I've done over time. Just making sure that the key players that you're always asking them about, you know, what's working well, what can we do to continue to give them opportunities to learn and grow and be happy, and then be prepared to be supportive if what they need is not something that you can provide to them on their team.
Thanks, Charmaine. Charmaine, can I ask you, how do you deal with your teammates when they feel a little rattled when someone's leaving? Have you had that scenario? And what did you do to quell the anxiety and maybe even your own?
Yeah, I think it's about reminding them that this opportunity for someone leaving is also an opportunity for the team, because we don't know what we don't know. And as we welcome new team members in, or as we look to do that, it's an opportunity for the team to get better. So that's one of the things we talk about if we're having to say goodbye, especially to a team member that we really are sad to see go.
Thanks, I really like that. And thanks for the thoughtful question, Bob Bacon, in the chat. So with a couple minutes, yeah, please, Dan.
Can I throw one thing? I wanted to just acknowledge what probably all of the attendees know, but I think it's important to underscore. When you have change on a team, it changes the team dynamic. And I think we have to be very purposeful about acknowledging that and kind of honoring it and making sure that as a team, you are also onboarding somebody onto the team so that they feel like they can become a full contributor. And it does at times when there's more than one person, or even at times with one person, it can change a team dynamic. And I think as a leader, it's very important to be aware of that. And to, you know, go back through the norming, storming stages to enable that team to get to a high performance level again. So I just wanted to make that point. You got to be purposeful about that. You can't ignore it and just assume that things will end up working out. Sometimes there are team dynamics that come just from change, and you've got to work them through.
I'm so glad you said that, because again, we're humans and we're in relationship. And so I don't know about you, but I spend a lot of time with the people that I work with, and it's very close connections in terms of creating and, you know, manifesting our potential together and helping people to grow and helping me to grow. I mean, there's grieving that goes along with this process, right? And it takes some time. So it's not like you're going to say, okay, I feel fine today. It's like, no, we're very excited that Christy Jefferson is promoted and is going to go work in the heart and vascular service line. And we feel so proud. And I want to shout out Gretchen and the entire SIM team and PMA team who helped to nurture Christy, and excited for Mon to have her great talents on her team. And yet we're sad too. And it's like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Right. So all those emotions, I think you individualize them, and then there's a collective emotion. So Jan, I really love your point about being intentional about talking and moving through that together as a team and acknowledging how that feels. And so Bob, I'm really appreciative for that thoughtful question, which I thought this dialogue was really good. Okay, we're running short on time. I want a lightning round, both with the chat and with you. I'll start with you, Jan, and then Charmaine. I want one recommendation on something that has brought you joy or energy. It could be a book, a movie, a TV show, something outside. What are you doing to just recharge your batteries, Jan?
I'm watching people being wildly successful over the last 14 months doing things they never did before. That has just brought me so much joy.
Good one. I'd love to hear from you on the chat too. Any recommendations, Charmaine? What's one thing?
So I started listening to podcasts and focusing on the ones that are positive and uplifting, and turning off the news and doing more with the podcast. And I also crochet, and I know it sounds like an old lady thing to do, but it's very therapeutic. So I listen to my podcast and I crochet projects. I recently made a sweater for my puppy and she hates it, but that's okay. I got the benefit of kind of working through that and creating something.
That's great. Any one podcast that you'd recommend to our audience?
There is one called In the Light that I'm really enjoying right now. And Brené Brown's podcast is also excellent.
She's so good, isn't she?
Yes.
So good. Well, thanks for those recommendations. I'd love to see any recommendations in the chat. Debbie Rosenbaum is listening to Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard. He just had Daniel Goleman on, the inventor of EQ and emotional intelligence. Jan, Charmaine, congratulations again to both of you on this very exciting transitions in your life and career. Jan, we're all wishing you so much joy and fulfillment in this next stage of your life. You have really earned no Sunday scaries, no counting of vacation hours to make sure you have enough, no Zoom fatigue, and way fewer emails. And we are just really thankful for all of your contributions to Penn Medicine, to Lancaster. It's just been such a pleasure being your colleague. Charmaine, I have no doubt everyone in the chat, everyone from PMA, everyone in this organization, we are all cheering for you in this new role. So congratulations again, and we're wishing you so much joy at Lancaster. And with whatever is going to be in your future here at Penn Medicine. So thank you both for joining me. Gretchen, thanks so much for being our expert. So let me turn our attention to the next show in 2 weeks. It's going to be very good. It's a topic that I've heard you ask for time and again: managing difficult conversations now. So difficult conversations are always hard. It's even a little bit harder right now because, like, we're a little out of practice coping with one another. Some of us have been in our houses for a year, so it's always hard. So we have Catherine Morrison. She is awesome. I know you love the internal speakers. I do too. But Catherine has been a teacher of mine and a teacher across academic medicine. She's trained as an attorney. She has deep experience in working at academic medicine. So she's going to speak your language around conflict, how to negotiate that through. So please join us on the 22nd. It is going to be fantastic. We have other great shows coming up. I already previewed the spotlight on our new CEOs. And then on May 20th, we're going to have Growing Up Penn Medicine, Dr. Peter Quinn, Lori Gustav. You're not going to want to miss this. These people have spent most of their whole careers here at Penn Medicine. They're going to talk about the changes that they've seen, their own career paths. I think it should be a lot of fun. Peter is a really good storyteller, so you won't want to miss it. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your great, thoughtful comments in the chat. You're really making a huge difference. I know you're tired. I know you're stressed. Thank you for everything that you're doing. I look forward to seeing you on the next show.